Today I want to talk about doctrine, the doctrine of power. I saw something along those lines many, many years ago and discovered a few more things. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, we all know what a doctrine is. Webster defines doctrine as a principle, a position, or the body of principles in a branch of knowledge. Also means a system of belief, commonly known as dogma or canon. Now, many people think that the original doctrines were those of the Catholic Church, especially thought by the so-called doctors or religious scholars of the same church. But today, a doctrine can come from many other sources. And Jerry just mentioned one when he was sharing that. Now, all established legal principles are called legal doctrine. Traditional psychiatrists still follows the doctrines of Sigmund Freud. We also know that the communist doctrine is what the Soviet Union used to uphold, and I guess they still do. So there are all kinds of doctrines, and especially today, you know, people believe in so many things. And so there is many ways or many doctrines that we can be, you know, run onto. Or what was the word Jerry used in Hebrew when he said that go back to the old way of life, or go back to different things, depart from the truth, which we are not going to do. But the archaic definition of doctrine is teachings or instructions. Now I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to read verses from 1 to 4. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. So doctrine here is the Hebrew word likaik, something like that, likaik. It's used 10 times in 9 verses in the Old Testament. It means a fair speech. It means something received. But mostly means instruction, doctrine, and learning. So going back to 2 Timothy 3:16, we know that the first word is all, right? From the Greek, basically means all, as in any, every, as many, thoroughly, whole, is an absolute all. And we also know that the word all in the Bible is used in two different ways, right? All, without exceptions, and all, with distinction. The interesting part of the word all in this specific situation is that it can be used in both ways. Funny, right? All with distinction, because this scripture differs from other types of writings. This is the only God-breathed word. And it's all without exception, because from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is the revealed word of God. Now 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, meaning useful, helpful, and serviceable for doctrine, reproof, for correction. These three things are instruction in righteousness. Today I want to focus on the word doctrine, which is used 51 times in 50 verses in the whole Bible. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 1, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, she will keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Well, the word here in verse 1 is the Hebrew word, it's kind of hard to pronounce these words, but something like shomei. It means to hear intelligently, attentively, obedience, obey, but also means make a proclaim. So when God says here in Proverbs 1, hear, it's like declaring a proclamation. Pay attention, listen, obey. Now the word instruction is the Hebrew word musar. It means chastisement, warning, correction, discipline, or rebuke. Wouldn't it be great if every parent in every household would teach these children, their children, with this doctrine, this way? See? When he say here, it's not like a, hey, listen, I'm trying to tell him something. No, it's listen to me. Pay attention to this. This is a proclamation. Listen to my instructions. But it also means listen to my warning, listen to my rebuke, to my correction, to my discipline. That's what it basically means. But I don't think that's ever going to happen with the future children. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. In verse 6, we're going to read until verse 9. "For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But there are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into place is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphaz. The work of the workman and the hands of the founder, blue and purple is the clothing. They are all the work of cunning men." The word stocks, you know that, refers to a timber or a piece of wood being handcrafted by the work of cunning men. The word vanity is the common appellative for idols. Now, this is something that happened basically since the times of when Adam and Eve were cast out of Eden and Cain killed Abel. But in Jesus' times, there were other kinds of doctrines developing as well. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, doctrine here is the Greek word didache, meaning instruction. Doctrine had been taught, that also means. Verse 23, Matthew 22. Go to Matthew 22, verse 23. See. Here we see that there's two groups being talked about in these verses, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Matthew 22, verse 23. The same came to him, the Sadducees. We say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. So here we see that the Sadducees had their own beliefs. And that's what they taught. That's why they preached. That was their doctrine. Matthew 22, verse 29, is Jesus answering. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. How simple is that, you know? How many people tell things about the dead are alive, that Jesus is God, that all dogs go to heaven, you do this, the karma thing, or the feng shui thing, all kind of doctrines. But it's so simple here when you go to the Bible and see what Jesus says. Do you err not knowing the scriptures? Know the power of God. Verse 30. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Are the dead still alive yet today? No. Verse 33. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Now we have Jesus' doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Now mysterious music. So now, see, we have the Pharisees who were competing with the Sadducees over religious interpretations and practices. They joined the Sadducees. They were enemies. Well, they were not killing each other, but they were just fighting for, you know. I'm right. No, you're wrong. No, I'm right. No, you're wrong. So each of those groups, they taught different things. And they were supposed to be the doctors of the law. They were supposed to be the ones who uphold God's word, God's will, God's principles, God's doctrine. But they were not doing that. So what they joined together to tempt Jesus, to try to kill him, and denied him by not accepting him as the Son of God. Mark chapter 1, the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. So here's when he was assembling his group, calling his disciples. At this time, Simon and his brother Andrew and James and his brother John, sons of Zebedee, who followed him. They all went after him. They followed him. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. The scribes? Who are those? Well, many believe the scribes were a sect within the Pharisees, because a scribe was a person trained in writing skills and used to record events and decisions. We can see that in Jeremiah 36:26, in 1 Chronicles 24:6, in Esther 3:12. Now, during the exile in Babylon, educated scribes apparently became the experts in God's written word, copying, preserving, and teaching it. Ezra was a scribe in the sense of expert in teaching God's word. You can read that in Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. Now, a professional group of such scribes developed by the New Testament times, most of them being Pharisees. That's why they believe they were a sect within the Pharisees, as Mark 2:16 says. They interpreted the law, taught it to the disciples, to their disciples, and were expert in cases where people were accused of breaking the law of Moses. So don't worry, you're not supposed to break the law of Moses. You can do whatever you want with God's word, but please, please, don't mess up the law of Moses, okay? Law of Moses, which they also change. The people were so accustomed to the lies and the abuses of the so-called scribes that when Jesus performed some of the healings, they thought it was a new doctrine, which they also call it Jesus' doctrine. Verse 23, Mark chapter 1, verse 23. And there was in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Is that not clear also? They didn't say, The Holy One, you are God. They say, The Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had turned him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they were questioning among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirit, and they do obey him. They were still considered that a new doctrine. So you see how doctrines have been evolving and changing and multiplying and propagated. And today, I mean, you can believe whatever you want. Even the law defends you. You say that you are whoever you want to be, because you have the right to be whatever you want to be. You can be coming up in a pot with a plant. And by law, you are right. You can go to court. You can sue people. You can come up with your own doctrine. So they thought it was a new doctrine. But it was all along the same doctrine which is written in Deuteronomy 32 verse 1. But it was a doctrine in action with authority and power that even the chief priests and the scribes were astonished. Now remember when he cast the people out of the temple? Mark chapter 11 verse 17. And he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. Was this his doctrine? It says that all the people were astonished at his doctrine and start calling it like that, his doctrine. But was it? And I'm sure you also remember when they tried to kill him out of the city. Luke chapter 4. Take a look. Oh, look. Chapter 4, verse 30. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So was this really Jesus' own doctrine? Well, yes and no. And why do I say this? And why do I say that this was the same doctrine as we read in Deuteronomy 32? Go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? They were astonished that he didn't go, you know, to a private kindergarten, to a private elementary school, to a private junior or high school, not even a private college. He didn't go to college. How come these guys know all these things? He didn't even go to, yes. Well, verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine, see, he says, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. What Jesus taught was not his doctrine of, was not a doctrine of vanities, but a doctrine of power. And that's exactly what he promised to his disciples when he went up to heaven. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. See, well, number 4 is bigger than 1, so I just went with the bigger one. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me, For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This was a wonderful promise, complemented with the following verses. Verse 8, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that came to fruition on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles changed from being hidden behind doors for fear of the Jews into brave and bold men of God with all power from on high. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Talking about the souls, right? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now is the apostles' doctrine. I assume they did what Jesus told them to do. First, they believed on the Son of God. Second, they did the will of God. Third, they waited together in Jerusalem as they were told. Fourth, they were all in one accord at the same time. On Pentecost. Fifth, they received the promise. And now, Jesus' doctrine became the disciples' doctrine and is called now, as is called now in those verses. But let me add the sixth step. They operate the Holy Spirit and spread out the doctrine of Christ. Because they didn't even call that the doctrine their own doctrine. Just as Jesus never even called it himself that it was his own doctrine, but of the one who sent him. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. We're going to read a few verses there. Acts chapter 5, 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities, ran about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, these guys, they never stop, and were filled with indignation. See? You see what Jerry is talking about when he says that we should stand, that we should not depart, that we should continue steadfast. Because there are many pressures. It's not only that, I mean, I know you guys are unmovable, but there are pressures. And there are situations that somehow can pressure not only our lives in a physical way, with sickness and need and stuff, but in an emotional way, He put our minds to the test because of circumstances or things that life throws at you. Well, here is when they put him in prison. These guys got mad at them because they were preaching the doctrine of Christ. The torment in prison is when the angel of the Lord by night brought him out of the prison. And instead of running away to hide again for fear of the Jews, they went straight out to the temple to teach. And when the high priest heard of that, they tried to put him back in jail. Verse 27, Acts 5:27. And when they had brought him, they sent him before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intended to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter, remember that Peter who was hiding after Jesus was caught? Well, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." What an answer. That should be always our answers also. I'm sure you know what changed these men from being afraid and timid to become brave and bold. Now, the Apostle Paul knew that this doctrine was the Lord's doctrine. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. We're going to read some verses there too, from 6 to 12. Acts 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes upon him and said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil." Wow, he didn't keep it to himself. I mean, he just bring it out. "You child of the devil, what are you doing here? Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord?" Verse 11. "And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. Can you believe that? He believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Well, he didn't call it the doctrine of Paul, because Paul was not preaching about himself. He was preaching the word of God. And this man, this deputy, knew that this doctrine was the doctrine of the Lord. Paul never also called it his own doctrine. And when he was waiting for Silas and Timotheus in Athens, he mentions two more groups, each of them with their own doctrines. Acts chapter 17, verse 18. We're going to read a few verses there too. 18 to 23. Acts chapter 17. Verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans, see, that's another group, and of the Stoics, that's another group, with their own doctrines, encounter him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others say, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spend their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new things. It sounds like today, right? Many people, that's what they like. Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Marsh Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, but him declare I unto you.'" So these people only wanted to hear new things. See? Hey, Jerry, they also like the current events. You see? They like to hear new things. They were open to any kind of doctrines. But Paul knew his was a doctrine of old, taught by Jesus, who made it his own, then the disciples who preached it as their own, and now Paul preaching of it. When these people heard of the resurrection of dead, some mocked, some just left, but some believed. Because the word of God never comes back void. Paul took his doctrine and brought it to the masses, the Gentiles, so we could have the opportunity to hear from it, learn from it, and also make it our own. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 17. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Remember what Jesus says in John chapter 7, verses 16, 17, and 18? When he says, "Jesus answered them and say, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself speaketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So there is no unrighteousness for those who believe. And as we were delivered unto that doctrine, being made free from sin, we gladly become doulos of righteousness. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And now, this doctrine has been delegated unto us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you had a psalm, had a doctrine, had a tongue, had a revelation, had an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. This doctrine is now in our hands because of Paul. As Paul charged Timothy and Titus and Philemon and many others, we can put our names instead and understand that this is not just a simple doctrine, but a doctrine of authority and power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, I do want to thank Jerry, because what he talked about is another doctrine that people believe. You see, that the soul got to heaven. Now, for sake of time, I'm just going to quote some verses. I'm not going to read it. But there you can find in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 6 to 17, when it talks about every wind of doctrine. Because there are so many that you cannot even count them. See? In Titus chapter 1, verses 7 to 10, it talks about the doctrine of the circumcision. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, talks about the doctrines of demons. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, talks about different doctrines. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, teaches about the sound doctrine. And Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, talks about the doctrine of God. What has been delegated unto us, my friends, is God's doctrine, a doctrine of authority and power. It's in our hands. Let's do it. God bless you.